Right. Right. Yeah, but if you think they're going against the scriptures, against the scriptures, make sure you check with your leaders. Because you can find them all over the place. Max, go ahead.
Okay,
all authority is limited, and when an authority tries to act in an area where it doesn't have authority, you disobey. It sort of goes along this line. God, state, family, and employer. Can't see that too well. There it is. Authority is conditional. Make sense? Husband, wife, parent, child.
See, I think what happened there, Harold, is that these men took on authority they did not have. God says, you know, preach the word. They say, we don't want to preach the word. They don't have authority over a man's conscience when they say religion. See, like if you're in Russia today, they say, you know, the state authority says, you do not speak in the name of Jesus. Well, that is the point where the state has gotten out from under the authority God gave. He did not give him authority in the area of religion. So I think that's one of the three to break the law. See, that's what happened in the book of Revelation, as well as Romans, in the book of Revelation, in which John called the government to exile them, taking them away from the people, to anti. And so there's a point in which even the state's authority, you would not obey the nation.
Let me ask you if something is coming across. Are you beginning to understand why you need to know the Word? So you got a lot of big ideas, but you really need to know the Word of God. You need to know verses, but you need to know what it teaches. You need to understand how to apply it. It is of paramount importance that you build a practice of Bible study and of learning God's Word. If you don't, you're just sort of subject to the opinions of the day, you know, and you just, whatever wind's blowing, your sail flips around that way and off you go. So it's really important that you get into the Word. It does feed you, it does grow you, it does cleanse you. But we make our life decisions by it. Let me check another scripture. Another question? Let me read you. It's 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14. Another passage that bears on government. Take a look at it. 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as a supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. See, constituted authorities are to punish those who do wrong and to recognize those who do right. So, we obey them. But there are limits. Other question? Right back here.
Should we vote for candidates, or should we take aggressive action politically, or that to happen?
Kathy felt like God was really pointing you to do that. Most of you are going to spend a limited amount of time in the political realm. You need to find out what's going on in it.
As far as right and wrong.
As far as right and wrong goes, I don't think it'd be right to do it or right not to do it. I think that'd be one of those places where, you know, aggressive political action, that'll depend on God's leadership to a person. See, ours is sort of a different system. Most places in the world, somebody stands up and says, this is what we're going to do, and everybody says, that's it. In our system, we have a lot of input. We don't. We have a lot of potential input. And you can give it only a limited amount to politics. I mean, a limited amount of time. Some you might do. This is something we've done in our church. We've set aside a group of people. We call them the Cultural Awareness Team. And their function is going to be to examine issues and keep us as a church informed and at points where we can put pressure in voting or writing and stuff. All of us don't have the time to do that, but we've asked God to lead some people to do it. Some of you, you know, God might lay that on some of your hearts. All of you won't have the time to, but we need some people to inform us. Let us know what input we can make. Max, you need to break?
I believe so. Unless you'll be here for a minute, or I will be.
You've raised some good questions, and you raised questions that are on a lot of people's minds. Now, what I've tried to do with you, I've tried to do two things. I've tried to give you the outlines of some scriptural answers. I've also tried to challenge you to do some critical thinking instead of just sort of gullible thinking. If I were in the position right now that many of you are, I don't know if all of you are or not, the issue of going to war at one time was very real for me as a Vietnam War. I had to make some decisions about it. If you're in that same position, you've got some options just due to the changed opinions in society. You have a little bit wider response range than I had whenever I was in college. Like, you know, it's legitimate to go to Canada now. It's legitimate to object. There's sort of a whole national question about war, though there's beginning to be an awareness that it may be necessary. One time I think we thought we could get by without it. So you're at a time whenever there's not a lot of clear direction. And there are a lot of options. You need to get into the Word. Your big ideas won't stand up before God. You may be able to alibi yourself through this life, but they won't stand up before God. And God's the one you answer to. So I really encourage you to get into the Word. The books I mentioned can help you. Whatever you do, don't be a fool. You know what a fool does? You got all kinds of questions, but he never gets any answers. You can say, let's do this, and he can tell you 1,000 questions about it, but he doesn't have any answers. So he doesn't ever do anything. He sort of drifts. Takes a line of least resistance, like Abraham Lincoln said, about a river. You know, the river takes a line of least resistance. That's why it's so crooked. Okay, you need answers. You belong to Jesus. You need answers. Get your answers out of the Word. Have a wide heart to receive one another, but do some hard-nosed Bible study, beloved. God gave you a brain. It's more than take out and play with every now and then. Now you need to use it on the Word. If you got some real questions about what I said, you're welcome to have them. Get answers. If you don't agree with me, I'm not mad at you. Get answers. If your answer is different from mine, you know, great, let's discuss it. Compare verses, compare principles. It's an area where you need to receive one another, but you do need to study. And I appreciate the time with you. I hope I've challenged you to get into the Word on some stuff. Max?
Thank you, Harold. I think you have received some real help tonight in a broad perspective where you can get some more. Let me just mention one thing to you. We've just gotten in a new set of tapes by Francis Schaeffer called Whatever Happened to the Human Race. There's a book down there. We now own a set of the videotapes. And it has a great deal to do with the area of abortion. And this is a big area in our society, you know, that if you're going to say to somebody you don't believe it, you better have some reasons, or if you do, you better have some. And this is another area that probably sometime in the future, before school's out, we'll try to have some way to share that. It won't be a Thursday night Vesper. It may be an after Vesper thing. But this might be another area where there's a great deal of talk. One of the reasons we want to do this, because it's a live issue right now, and I know in some of the times I've been getting some of you in your Bible study, it's one of the hottest issues right now, and it's a terrific way to give some people the help and also be able to let people see that as Christians we do have some answers. That's one of the reasons we want to do this.
Let's say one thing on that. Francis Schaeffer predicted about 3 years ago, he and some others, predicted that the issue would move beyond abortion to infanticide, the killing of children, unwanted children, already born, full-term children, born and the people decide they don't want them. They projected it would occur sometime in the mid-80s, maybe, or later 80s. Well, it's already been going on for about a year and a half. And it's being advocated by leading minds in medicine and medical ethics for such things as hair lift, cleft palate. The baby comes out, parents decide they don't want it, it's put over in a side of the nursery, and it's left starved to death. It takes about a week, 2 weeks. Now that has already gone on, they've got it documented, and it's spreading. Another thing they projected, Schaeffer, I read some books for him earlier, was euthanasia on the elderly, which is killing the elderly. They projected it would take place much later than infanticide, maybe, you know, 1990 or something like that. I saw the films, when did we go see them, Craig? September? Saw the films September. In November, I talked to a gal in Kansas, a Christian who's part of the ministry on campus there, and she said that she's a nurse working in a home for the aged. She said, I'm really having a dilemma. I said, what's wrong? She said, well, so we've got two kinds of patients. So we've got patients that have a blue card and patients that don't have one. If the patient that has a blue card has some kind of a seizure or becomes seriously ill, we treat them. If they don't have a blue card, we let them die. And she said one girl, a patient who did not have a blue card, one girl called for resuscitation. And they came, the patient was revived. It caused a big stink, and she almost lost her job. Now, I'm not talking about senile people. I'm just talking about elderly people. I asked her, I said, well, who decides who gets a blue card and who gets a white card? She said, family. Old people are prone to kidney infections. And kidney infection gets severe, I just let them go on. That's 1980. That's 79. So, the things they're predicting for much later are already here. They're going on to document it, and you can check the journals. So, I really strongly suggest that you check out the journals.